What is the difference between contemplation and thinking? So what do you think? Yeah? A lot of people believe contemplation is like thinking. So you have to develop the understanding. So I will read to you my answer so that you can use this as a framework for you to develop understanding of what contemplation is. And the difference that you can see clearly between thinking and contemplation. To contemplate on the Dhamma spoken by the Buddha is to reflect and inquire deep into the proclamation of truth that he has given us under his first turning of the Four Noble Truths. So the first turning of the Four Noble Truths, there are four noble truths. Every of these, he turned it one time. He called it the first turning. So I will read to you the first turning of the first noble truth. So the first noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed the eight conditions, the reality of life and existence that can condition suffering and misery if you don't have the right understanding or the Dhamma is taught by him. Then he turned it three times. The first turning he said, this noble truth of dukkha, which is suffering, the condition, you need to understand, is to be understood. So this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. First turning. So this is the inquiry you have to ask. Why did the Buddha say that? Then how can I do it? How can I develop the understanding of it? Because the Buddha said this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So the first inquiry is very important, because this inquiry will lead you to reflect and contemplate. So if you were to ask yourself sincerely, based on clean slate, no conditioning, nothing. So like first time you hear about it, the first noble truth. Then the Buddha said, first turning, this noble truth of suffering, the eight condition, is to be understood. So the first inquiry is, why did the Buddha say this? Is it easy or not? You have to reflect, you have to contemplate, why did the Buddha say it? If I have not understood this first noble truth reality, what will happen? Yeah? What will happen? It's very clear cut, isn't it? If I don't even know that these eight reality are suffering, what happened? You suffer without knowing that you are suffering, isn't it? That's why this first noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. You have to understand. Birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering. Separation is suffering. When things don't go your way is suffering. When you are with people whom you don't like is suffering. So in short, the five aggregates of grasping, the grasping aggregate, born of self-delusion, is suffering. So all this in reality, when you confront them without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, it results in suffering. So I start to see through this inquiry the importance of understanding this noble truth of dukkha. It's the eight condition. I have to investigate into it. I have to reflect, contemplate, and develop the understanding so that the first turning wisdom can arise. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So after I know the reason already, it will drive me. Otherwise, I suffer without knowing that this is suffering. That's why the world is full of misery and suffering. And all suffering cannot be apart from this eight reality. That's why this is the noble truth of dukkha that summarizes to us all of life. Yeah, whatever you experience within life, the mundane aspect, they cannot be apart from the eight reality. This eight reality summarizes everything. And nowadays, like I explained earlier on, maybe the traditional words that they use, that the Buddha used at that time, because at that time, civilization not so advanced, not so evolved. So if you just use those few words, it is incomplete. That's why I say when we share this teaching, the Dhamma, we have to modify it. We cannot just quote the old words, birth, old age, sickness, and death. A lot of people do not even want to listen to you. This is like taboo to them, or all things you talk about, birth, old age, sickness, and death. What is so interesting about birth, old age, sickness, and death? Well, to them, no meaning. But if you were to develop the understanding after you have reflect and contemplate on all this, then the scope become different. That instead of only birth, it includes a lot of complications that can arise during birth. And birth can trigger a lot of traumatic experiences, misery and all those things. So when we reflect and contemplate, means we throw up this truth, like birth is suffering. Is it true that birth is suffering? So if you have gone through the birth process, or you have experienced some form of baby delivered and you have witnessed them, or if you are married, you may even read up and develop the experience from your wife as she go through the birth process, from the way she conceived until pregnancy, then until the final birth process. When you start to reflect and contemplate, means you inquire, why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? How can I develop the understanding? So I reflect. I reflect and I contemplate. Means what? Your mind, mundane mind, can recollect the whole birth process. Like from the moment she conceived until the morning sickness. So as you reflect and contemplate, and recollect all those things that happened, because you are in the creative state. You are silent. You are just aware, you're creative. Then you reflect, you recollect. Then as you go through, you will hit certain point. No wonder the Buddha say birth is suffering. Because the whole process leading to birth is full of moments of suffering and misery. The mother will understand it very clearly, because it can be a very traumatic experience, especially the lady, if they are not married, then first time they discover the period income, or they realize that they are pregnant, they are nowadays this pregnancy test and all the things. So certain children, they are still so young. They don't know what life is, and they don't know what lies ahead. Sometimes, due to ignorance, all these things can happen. Then there are people who think that this is something that is easy to deal with. No. You think like the kid playing masa. No. Because these are severe things leading to a lot of traumatic mental suffering and misery. Then the parent get involved, especially if you are the parent of that girl who is involved in all this. Not easy to handle. Then the one that is married also not easy. Of course, they are in a much better position. At least they are legally married, so you don't have complication with birth cert and all those things. Then also, you have your husband or your spouse to be with you together to go through all this. And some wife, they want the husband to witness. So you can, you should go in and have a look so that you understand how much suffering they have to go through. It's not easy, the birth process. Then also, as they conceive, they go through many stages, the morning sickness and all those things. That a lot of things that they used to like take for granted, now as the birth process continue, they can't do their what they call physical bodily condition starts to become out of shape. They have to walk not only mindfully, tactfully. Then they are finding their movement no longer like before. So they cannot simply like do work or climb ladder or try to do things that can lead to accident and all this thing. Then the food that they consume and take, sometimes cannot, they just throw out because karmic thing conditioning and the baby, sometimes certain thing they can't take. Then during pregnancy, I heard a lot of story, certain thing that they use to dislike, somehow they go and take. Oh, then there are a lot of strange story too. They eat a lot of certain thing. Then sometimes they listen to certain type of good music because the karmic condition of the children is such. So a lot of things you learn, you experience. Then as you move on, the pregnancy become different. Then you worry about the fetus not having movement or life. So there is this fear, insecurity. So for most mother, as long as they can feel the baby is kicking or moving inside their womb, they have a lot of joy because this is life, your children coming. So many things you can develop the understanding through reflection, contemplation, mindfulness, awareness, and sensitivity. You develop all this understanding. I'm a man, I'm not a woman, I haven't delivered any baby before. But I developed the interest because when my wife was pregnant, I follow her and I learned many things from her. And I witnessed many things too. She even asked me to touch how my unborn child kick and how it swallow like one lump like that. Oh, swollen, then subside. Oh, I find it very interesting. Never experienced before. And my wife always tell me, oh, coming already, kicking. Oh, you see that thing come out swell. Means the baby is alive, active, which is a good sign. Then you have to take her for a monthly checkup. Initially, maybe not so often, but towards the later part, more often. Then before the birth process, a lot of things you never experience. Even the first time the bladder burst, all the water all come out. Not bladder, the womb, the water bag, the womb. When the water bag burst, why you thought the baby coming out? Oh no, then when we reach the hospital, the nurse tells us, don't worry, it's still a few more hours to go. So all this you learn, then from experience, you are able to actually experience them and develop the joy, the experience. So when you reflect and contemplate, means you recollect all these experiences and process that you go through, that you witness. Then from there, that reflection, that contemplation, you will hit certain part when you recollect. Then you realize this is what the Buddha meant. Birth is suffering. So many stages and phases that I described just now. There could be a lot more. So if you really reflect and contemplate with the awareness mind within, the creative mind within, this is not like heedless thinking or gross thinking or very active thinking. No, that active thinking cannot reflect, cannot contemplate. Because you have to recollect through mindfulness your life experiences. Then you go through it slowly, stages. And then when you hit certain point, you will recall to memory. Then you will know, oh, no wonder birth is suffering. Then what I want to share with you is, we no longer just say birth is suffering. We can describe all those processes. Then when it comes to old age, getting old, then you talk about dementia. You talk about memory losses and all those things. Then you talk about rheumatism and all those other things. Then the senses starts to fail you when you get old. So experiencing old age leading to disease, sickness, traumatic disease and sickness. So all these are called health problem, medical problem. So when you use this word health problem, medical problem, they are interested, the younger generation are interested, because they heard about this to their family, their parents, their grandparents. Then later on, as they grow up, they also experience certain, maybe early stages of old age sickness. Now, sickness is of course quite easy. Nowadays, young people also get depression, heart attack, then they also have this heart failure, stroke, and all those things. So nowadays, there are a lot of very traumatic disease, like HIV, if you are not careful. Then they also have some very chronic type of rare diseases. Then like COVID-19 pandemic, they say it affect your respiratory system, and sometimes it can also damage your other organs and all those things. So these are not easy to understand and handle. When you are in the medical field, you understand what health problem is. Then you can relate more to old age and sickness. Then death, of course, is traumatic. When other people die, maybe you don't pay attention. But when your own family member die, then you see the relevance. So all this, when you reflect, you contemplate, you can develop the understanding. Now we go back to the notes. So this part that I explained just now, now I read through, you will understand. This contemplative wisdom is called Chintamaya Panya, means second turning wisdom. So part of the second turning wisdom. So first turning is proclamation of truth. Then second turning is reflection and contemplation. So that's why this second turning wisdom. Second turning wisdom and second turning of Four Noble Truths are different things. Please don't get yourself confused. So second turning wisdom can be applied to the first Noble Truth, first turning, second turning, and third turning. You can do it on all this. But more often is the first turning. Because first turning is proclamation of truth. Then the second turning is, of course, the more in-depth one. Like the first Noble Truth. First turning is this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Okay, then you reflect, contemplate, then you move on, like what I teach or share with you. Then the second turning of the first noble truth, the Buddha say, this noble truth of dukkha has already been understood. So the meaning is very deep. Means the the second turning wisdom is to develop the contemplation. I read through this one, then I will know. The first turning of the Four Noble Truths. Okay. Then this contemplation or contemplative wisdom, which is called Chintamaya Panya, is part of the second turning of the Four Noble Truths wisdom. Yeah. So to develop this contemplative wisdom, one must have a calm and composed mind. This is what I mean. Your mind must be calm and composed means in a creative state collected with the spiritual faculty of Saddha, Virya, Sati, and Samadhi in its creative state to inquire and to reflect deep into the second turning hidden meaning. Yeah. So first turning is the proclamation of truth. Huh? So I have to reverse that a bit. So after the Buddha proclaimed, then second turning you reflect, contemplate into it. Then third turning is to meditate into it. Yeah. Okay. So now we already got it right. Yeah. Okay. Reflection and contemplation is a form of inquiry or investigation with the creative mind in sati. That's why you need sati. But there is some form of thinking. Slow. It's more like reflection, contemplation. Then like you recollect. That word is very good. When you are mindful, you can recollect because you have gone through it. You are aware of all those things. That's why you can recollect. So when you are aware of where you put your purse at the moment when you put your purse, then you can recall, means you can recollect and remember that moment where you put your purse. That's why you will know where to find it. Even your spectacle and all those things is the same. That's why you can cultivate mindfulness and awareness through all these simple things which can help you in life. When you are mindful and aware throughout the day, you can recollect and you can recall what happened. Then you can have the what they call ability to be like you tend to have this there is one English word, what is it? Like you are more attentive. They call on no, there's a word. My mommy has that one. He very observant. It's like very observant. You're very observant. There's an English word I forgot already. She has that. Never mind, when I remember, I tell you. It's like you can see it very clearly. It's like they are more observant. They are more observant, yeah. They are more observant, yeah. Means they are not really lost in thought. That's why they are more observant. Yeah. Some people are born with that ability. Yeah. My wife has that ability. Yeah. But when you are mindful and aware, you can do that. And you can be very observant. Yeah. And you can see a lot of things that people never see, never aware. That's why you can recollect them. Yeah. But we can only do one thing at a time. When we are aware of that thing, we cannot be aware of the rest. Unless you are silent without a center. Means the awareness is without a center. Then different. That everything that moves within the awareness, you are aware. You are aware. The whole movement, the activity. Otherwise, you are with a specific phenomenal awareness. So when you are with a specific phenomenal awareness, you cannot be aware of other things. So always remember, when you are mindful, it doesn't mean that you have to be like good memory. Do you understand? A lot of people associate the lack of good memory as not mindful. No. Because sometimes when you are aware of that specific phenomenon, you cannot be aware of other things. So there is no such thing as memory. What actually the book say is different. The book say mindfulness is related to what they call you are able to recollection. Of what happened. That is true. That one is true. But when you are mindful, you can recollect that specific phenomenal awareness. Yeah, I did it before, I know. Yeah. But when you are not mindful, you cannot recollect. You don't know what happened. Yeah. So that recollection is the ability of mindfulness. After that, you can recollect. Which is true. But mindfulness has nothing to do with recollection. Don't go and mix up the two. Mindfulness is just awareness. But because you are aware, you can recollect. So it's not the opposite. Understand now? It's not to be mindful, is to have remembrance. No, it's the opposite. You mindful first. When you are aware and mindful, you can recollect. So if you are mindful at that moment of your action and movement, then you cannot be mindful of other things unless you have a general spacious awareness. Then that one is not a specific phenomenal awareness. That one is a wide range. So that wide range one is different. Then that one moves very fast. Whatever that moves within your awareness, you are able to be aware, that's it. That's why you can recollect and recall what actually happened. Then when you really attentively aware, then you have better understanding. Then the way you can recollect back is with more clarity. That's why sometimes I dare to tell, yeah, I saw him doing that, or I saw him left the thing there. Because I can recollect that that time I was aware of that movement, the awareness. But you cannot do this if you are thinking, you are heedless, you are lost in thought. Because you are actually within your inner world of thought. You are not mindful of outside. You are not aware. You are not observant. The word is observant. When you are observant, you have the quality of mindfulness and awareness. Otherwise, you can't be observant. So this part is something that you have to maybe develop the understanding and try it out. Then find out for yourself. Okay, I'll read on. Okay. There is some form of slight creative thinking, but not the active thinking. So this one, you have to understand. Some form of slight creative thinking. This is what I call recollection through memory. Recollection. Because you are mindful, you can recollect. But not the active thinking. To bring about a better understanding of what has been heard under the first turning, followed by the assimilation of it to stabilize one's understanding. Just like a talented musician and a talented person, when are they most creative? When they are in a very tranquil and conducive setting to reflect and contemplate on their talent, their mind is usually very quiet, calm, and rather creative at that time. And there is a reason why they can have the talent to create such beautiful music. Reflect on what you have heard. Reflect on what you have heard, taught to you, or read about. Then listen with attentiveness and a calm mind. After that, reflect and contemplate with a calm mind, with very little or no thinking. Means you reflect, means you recollect. Reflection is like inquiry and contemplation, and its purpose is to stabilize what one understands. Note, assimilating the Dhamma is analogous to assimilating the food. That is like assimilating or absorbing the nutrient after eating the food. So when you reflect and contemplate, then you like stabilize the understanding. That's why you can assimilate them in. When you have stabilized the understanding, it's like you can assimilate this understanding into your nature, where you have reflected on it, contemplate on it. That's how your second turning wisdom stabilized. The initial wisdom, yoniso manasikara, come to be. The first turning is listening, proclamation of truth. Nowadays you can read about it. Then as you read, you can reflect and contemplate. You can do many things. Or you can listen attentively to the recording, to the video, the audio file. So nowadays there are more possibility of first and second turning wisdom because of science and technology, the advancement, we can record them, we can reproduce. So science and technology has made a lot of things easier and possible. So this is the beauty of civilization's progress. If you know how to use them appropriately with wisdom and understanding, then it is very helpful even to assist us to develop the first and second turning wisdom, which is Sutamaya Panya and Chintamaya Panya. So these are very beautiful sharing and description.